listening to The Realist Report. And now your host, John Friend.
All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of The Realist Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Saturday, August 22nd, 2020. Of course, my website is therealistreport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of these podcasts, as well as other radio programs I've participated in. You will also find all of my blog posts and articles, a contact page, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, and many other useful and important links. I am a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to the Barnes Review, the bi-monthly revisionist history magazine. Please do subscribe to these fine print publications. Check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org for all of the details. All right, with that said, let me introduce our special guest. Georgia Peach is back. Georgia is a former radio host on KSCO, a popular AM radio station in Santa Cruz, California. Georgia, welcome back to the program. How are you today?
Oh, hi, John. It's great to be back with you again. And John, who in the world knew when we were last together, I think about a year ago, that we would be living in what feels like a twilight zone? I mean, I wish I could say that I'm the bearer of good news, but frankly, John, every day it seems to me that things are getting worse and worse. Didn't they tell us back in March when COVID was unleashed that we were going to be in a two-week lockdown to flatten the curve? And here we are. We're in month number 6. And frankly, I don't see an end to this house arrest lockdown. And I think people should just go back to smoking because no one's dying of cancer or heart disease since COVID-19.
I know. I know. It's crazy. It's been absolutely crazy the past 6 months at least. It was already crazy, but it's on like a whole new level now.
Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of get started. You know, there's so much to talk about, and we're gonna be addressing some of the, you know, the big stories, obviously, the COVID-19 scam, the BLM and Antifa riots and destruction and lawlessness. It's like an American version of a color revolution taking place right here. Of course, we have the big election coming up. But to kind of get started, how have you been? I know there's a bunch of fires right in the Santa Cruz area in northern. It's not necessarily Northern California. It's more, it's north of where I am. I'm in the Los Angeles area. And I know there's a number of large fires that have really caused some major damage up there. So you want to give us some updates on that situation?
Well, first, I just want to say, in terms of the COVID, imagine a virus, John, that's so intelligent. It knows how to vanish during riots and during, you know, it vanishes completely among the homeless. I do not know why those people haven't been dropping like flies, but they aren't. However, I am sitting here in, you know, on the Central Coast, and we have these fires burning, and people are being evacuated. We've been suffering with these wildfires here on the Central Coast, in the Carmel, Monterey, Big Sur area. We've had these very high heat index in our area all week that have climbed into the 90s, which for us is very, very rare. We're just not geared for this kind of heat up here, and it's been miserable for those of us who aren't used to it. Now, John, so far in Santa Cruz, 64,000 people have been evacuated from their homes. That's 20% of the population in Santa Cruz County. And those people have been told it may be up to 3 weeks before they can return. So far, we have 6 deaths. Part of the problem is that we have no forest control up here. The environmental police of this state, that's funded by billionaire Mr. Tom Steyer, don't allow for the dead trees on people's property to be cut down, so it's like a tinderbox in those areas. Now, I feel very fortunate that I live on the ocean, so I have not been impacted by the fires, but our air has been horrible for days. It's so thick, and we have white ash all over our yards. My deck looks like a snowstorm has hit it. Very thick white ash. But here's something, John, I heard yesterday that's very disturbing. From someone who lives in the Pine Ridge area up Empire Grade in the Santa Cruz Mountains, those people are saying they're watching the Cal Fire trucks sitting there doing nothing. And when they ask them why, they've been told to stand down, to do nothing, unless it's a dire emergency. Well, does that mean someone is on fire or dying? So those people are actually using buckets of water trying to save their property and homes. Now, have you ever heard of anything so insane? It's the orders to stand down.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it reminds me exactly, you know, what we've seen in virtually every single major American city over the course of the past few months, where these people are just allowed to go out and riot and loot without any consequences. I mean, I saw a video here in Long Beach when there was major riots and looting taking place all over the downtown area, where literally there's like a group of 15 cops maybe 10 or 15 feet away from a major like mall area where there was, you know, 10 or 15 people in there looting, and they were just watching them, not even arresting any of them, not even pursuing them. All these police departments across the country basically had orders from their police chiefs and from the mayors to stand down and not enforce the law and not prevent any of these stores from being looted. And it sounds like it's the same with the firefighters based on what you just told me.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. And also, we have huge fires going on in Monterey, Carmel, the Carmel Valley, and Big Sur. But now this fire in the Big Sur, they have arrested an Ivan Geronimo Gomez, a 30-year-old guy from Fresno, for arson. Now, I haven't heard much more about that, but he is under arrest, and they've set a bail at $2 million. The question, John, we should all be asking is, when are the people of California going to vote these people out who are helping to destroy this once magnificent state? Because, John, people are leaving California in droves. When are they going to wake up here?
Oh, I know it. It's the state has really, really gone downhill, and it has been for a very long time. It's crazy. It's out of control. I mean, the homeless situation alone here in Southern California is truly shocking. It's astonishing. You know, you drive around some of these major cities, and I mean, it is like a third world country now. And again, it has been, you know, for a while, but it's still shocking to me. You know, if I go up into Los Angeles, I mean, it's shocking. You wouldn't even believe it. I mean, you can't even describe how bad it really is.
Yeah, we have the same thing in San Francisco, and actually, we have the same thing here in Little Santa Cruz County. I mean, it is unbelievable, but why aren't those people dying, John? They're not social distancing. They're not wearing masks. They're out there in droves living their daily lives. So why, if this COVID virus is so deadly, John, why aren't they dying? And if it's so deadly, why aren't we all voluntarily locked up into our homes? Because if I really believe there was a deadly virus out there, I wouldn't go out my front door, would you?
No, exactly. Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, they've been going on about how COVID is like this major public health crisis. And in my opinion, it is not even a genuine pandemic. It's not, you know, a genuine public health crisis. It is totally political. It's a politically manufactured crisis that's being used to undermine the country, to, you know, to throw another wrench at Donald Trump, you know, I think. But really, I mean, the main public health crisis is these people living on the street and defecating on the street.
Yeah.
And I mean, if people were really genuinely cared about public health, this would be the number one issue, right?
Exactly. That is a public health issue. Absolutely. But here's what's curious. Fauci is actually America's 21st century prophet, because days before Trump's January 2017 inauguration, Mr. Fauci predicted that a surprise outbreak would occur during the Trump administration, affirming the need to better prepare for a pandemic. Now, he further predicted that there was no question, but there will be a challenge to this incoming administration in the arena of infectious diseases. How did he know that, John? back then in 2017.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that quote. It's very interesting how they seem to know what's going to happen, right?
And tell us way ahead of time. It's amazing. It's just amazing that people aren't smart enough to connect all these dots. What we're really witnessing, John, is the dumbing down of our country. I swear to God, these people are dumb as dirt. It shows you what has happened in our educational system. I'm just astounded. I'm just astounded, John, at how easily people have complied, how they've fallen right in line. The fear out there, you can smell the fear, John, in people. They have so bought into this. I'm just astounded.
Yeah, it is pretty disgusting. You know, before we move on, I wanted to mention, you know, the fire situation. I've been following it. I haven't really been following it all that closely, to be honest, but some of the reports that I have seen, some of the major talking points, at least put out by, like, you know, the mainstream media and a lot of the political leaders in California is, you know, these fires are all about climate change and global warming, right? And these are major agendas of this, you know, New World Order system, right? The idea of climate change and global warming. So that seems to be kind of the angle that they're pushing with it, in the need to, you know, develop a new economy. And of course, this ties right into the whole COVID scam, because they're also saying that, you know, we need to totally, you know, redesign our economy, you know, because of the COVID situation. So
yeah,
it's interesting how they both seem to kind of tie into this climate change, global warming agenda.
Well, it's very interesting. On the news, we keep hearing that last Saturday night we had a thunderstorm here and 13,000 lightning strikes hit, causing 367 fires to be set off. So I don't know how that is connected to global warming if you have a thunderstorm, unless in fact they are, you know, geoengineering our weather. I mean, I wish they'd get their story straight, but that is the narrative. That is what they're pushing here in California, because they want their new Green Deal. That's the whole point.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a big part of it for sure. Well, you know what? There's really so much to discuss right now. And to get started, I want to pose a question to you about the reality of the racial situation in America. You know, we've heard all about Black Lives Matter for years now, going back to, I think it really kind of got started in 2013 or 2014. With the death of Trayvon Martin, who attacked, let's not forget, Trayvon Martin attacked George Zimmerman, beat him up, tried to take his gun. George Zimmerman fired and shot and killed him in self-defense, which he was, after the investigation, after all the trials and everything, that's exactly the conclusion that they came to. He acted in self-defense. Meanwhile, you know, they start rioting and looting over the death of this total thug. But anyways, we've heard all about Black Lives Matter going back all the way to the Trayvon Martin situation. We certainly hear about it now. We hear all about other minorities, you know, Mexicans and other Hispanics, illegal aliens, and, you know, third world refugees mainly. But of course, Jews, who are the most elevated and protected minority, despite the fact that they clearly have the most power and influence in society by any objective measurement. So all of these non-white groups are literally celebrated, elevated, championed, and praised by our government and media. I mean, you know, by and large anyways. While no one in any position of power or influence says anything about white people, about white lives. So, Georgia, this is kind of a big question, but do white lives matter in America today? I mean, what do you think?
Well, it appears white lives don't matter. But this BLM, this Burn, Loot, Murder group, I have to be careful here, John, with what I say about this world-funded communist terrorist group that has been organized and is hell-bent on burning down our cities, destroying, looting, causing this kind of violent domestic terrorism on our streets. We all know it's not a grassroots movement. Mr. Hank Newsom, the leader of BLM, has said repeatedly, if we don't get what we want, we're going to burn down the entire system and replace it. Now, that system, our statement of his replacing it, is comical. What did you are your people bill, Mr. Hawk. Because, John, underneath all of this, once again, is about the war on whites, a war on everything our white Europeans invented, created, and they want to tear it all down. White Europeans worked for thousands of years. We conquered, built, created this great Western civilization, and most of our best died in these world wars, and now we have these white beta males and self-loathing white women feeling bad with their white guilt, and our society is absolutely collapsing under the weight of its own faggotry. If we didn't know it before, John, we know it now. The war on whites can no longer be denied or ignored. It's in our face 24/7, and it's not going to stop till they get what they want. Now, I say we have a real problem in this country. It's a black-on-white crime problem. And until we get real about this and stop this greatest lie that's ever been told to the American people, we're going to continue to be under attack. I'm so sick of the stories of this black-on-white crime, black-on-white rape that goes unreported. And I ask your audience to please listen to Colin Flaherty on his podcast, White Girl Bleed a Lot, if you want to hear the real crime stats of black-on-white crime. So, yes, John, there is no protection for white people in our country. White lives don't matter. I've been in a Twitter battle with a black guy all morning about this, and I said to him, in this country, you cannot even say it's okay to be white. And you can't, yeah. John. You can't.
Oh, I know. I remember when that was a big scandal because people were writing it, you know, and posting flyers and other, you know, stickers and stuff on college campuses and other public places. And it was like this huge scandal, like, you know, white supremacists are taking over. And it was portrayed as like a violent threat or something for simply saying it's okay to be white.
Well, John, if there's so much white supremacy in this country, why can't we say it's okay to be white? If white supremacy is real, why can't we?
Yeah, exactly. Well, not only that, but I mean, whites are literally the only group of people that are not allowed to think and organize politically in racial terms. I mean, that itself is quote unquote racism and white supremacy. It's so backwards. It's so upside down. It's incredible. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned Colin Flaherty. I follow his podcast. I don't listen to every single podcast that he does, but he does do a lot of good work. And I interviewed him years ago, back when I think it was shortly after he came out with his first book, White Girl Bleed a Lot. And, you know, it's tough reading stories like that every day. And they are literally these sorts of black-on-white attacks and violence and rape and murder and muggings and robberies. This stuff happens repeatedly every single day all across the country, and nobody knows about it. It's definitely not made into a big national, you know, controversy the way these manufactured, you know, thugs getting killed by police officers, basically, or dying of a drug overdose in the case of George Floyd, the way they're hyped and manufactured by the mass media. And, you know, just over the course of the past week or so, here, and I'm on my Twitter feed right now. I tweet out a lot of articles that I find just so I can go back and kind of reference them. Here's a headline from the New York Post. Massachusetts dad allegedly killed by homeless man at Florida hotel. And of course, it's a black homeless man that just came up and killed this guy in his hotel room. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you saw that that Macy's employee beat up by the black thug, who's apparently the story was that this black thug, he was with his brother, and his brother told him that this white guy said the N-word, which didn't even happen, which was totally fabricated, and this guy just beat the crap out of him. Here's a headline again from the New York Post. This Macy's employee that was beaten up viciously is asking for leniency for the guy that beat him up.
I know, John.
I mean, it's incredible.
What has happened to these demoralized? Well, I know what's happened. These men of ours have been demoralized so long that we have this kind of a war of the mind. And these white, particularly white men, have been so demoralized, they've been mind raped. So that's the only thing I can offer to understand why they are putting up with this, John. Why are they putting up with this? And the only way you hear about these things is either on Twitter, as you see these videos, or on Colin Flaherty's podcast, where he talks about the statistics, the crime stats that are happening that the mainstream media doesn't pick up. They're not going. I mean, let's look at little Cannon Hennett as an example. My first response when I saw this is, where is the outrage? Why is this in cold blood execution of this sweet little five-year-old white boy not old all over the news? Because it wasn't, John. Now, 4 days after his murder, Tucker Carlson gave the show maybe 2 minutes. And I listened to Sean Hannity after, which I never do. I can't stand Sean Hannity. But I wanted to just see if Hannity would pick it up and give it the national attention that was needed. But you know what I learned from Hannity instead? Our government has a new law enforcement initiative with key resources, and it's called Operation Legend. Now, this Operation Legend is named for a four-year-old black kid who was shot in his bed. His name is Legend Taliaferro. So this little black legend boy got a new government operation named for him, and little white boy Cannon Hennett got 2 minutes on Tucker. So I guess being shot in bed trumps being shot in cold blood in the head, especially if you're a little white boy. So let's never forget Cannon Hennett, John.
Wow.
I'm just stunned by this.
Oh,
and
you know what's really sick?
You know what's really sick, John? 20,000 Facebook supporters support Cannon Hennett's alleged killer. Can you believe it?
Oh, yeah, I know. I've seen stories and screenshots of people like celebrating and supporting the guy that shot and killed Cannon Hennett, which is just a total outrage, and it's acceptable. This is acceptable to people.
Acceptable. You know, they say things like, I'd feel worse if you didn't have such a stupid name, a cannon that gets shot. And then somebody else said, and I don't do Facebook, by the way, and I wish everybody would drop Facebook. Why in the world are you giving Jeff Zuckerberg the ability to earn more money? I've never joined Facebook, but people send me this stuff. But they were also saying he should abduct. This little five-year-old riding his tricycle, he should have ducked when the black man came up with a gun and put it to his head.
Yeah,
now, this
what
is the
an
kind
outrage.
Of garbage, John, that is allowed on Facebook. You know, I'm telling you, we're in trouble, honey. We're in trouble.
You know, and it's interesting you mentioned Operation Legend. I hadn't really heard of it, to be honest. I'm looking at their Wikipedia page. It says here, Operation Legend is a federal law enforcement operation in the U.S. initiated by the administration of President Donald Trump. The operation was named after four-year-old Legend Taliaferro, who you mentioned, who was shot and killed in Kansas City, Missouri on June 29th, 2020, so just a little, well, about 2 months ago. According to the White House, Operation Legend was implemented after President Trump began deploying federal law enforcement agents to crack down on violent crime in the wake of the George Floyd protests. For Operation Legend, agents from various federal agencies were deployed to aid and assist city and county law enforcement officers. Now, I'd be willing to bet anything that this little boy was killed by another black person in some, you know, gang-related or drive-by shooting or something, right? I mean, I don't know the details, but
right.
I can almost guarantee you that this little black boy was shot by another black person. No outrage, no protests over this. I mean, black people say that they're, you know, being attacked by the police left and right. Meanwhile, they're in their own neighborhoods killing themselves on a daily basis.
Well, John, mothers in Chicago have to put their babies and little children to sleep in their bathtubs at night in order to keep them from being shot from these people, as you're describing, blacks driving by these gangs, randomly shooting at houses and at people. This is why I say this black on white crime, this black on black crime has got to be front and center of what is being talked about in this country if we're ever going to solve any of our problems. And it is not, John.
Not even by the Republicans, not by President Trump, even though they could. This is clearly, like, as you say, the most important issue. It's the only way it's ever going to resolve is if we're honest about it, and it's totally back. The whole entire narrative is 100% backwards, where it's blamed exclusively on, like, white racism and white supremacy and systemic racism and these other, like, weaponized left-wing, you know, phrases.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if you saw on HBO a documentary called On the Record. Did you see it?
I have not.
Okay. I suggest you check it out for those of you out there who have HBO. Here's the deal on the documentary On the Record. It is a documentary, John, that exposes black-on-black domestic abuse and black-on-black domestic incest, or all the things that we don't hear about. But here's what's interesting. Oprah Winfrey was supposed to be part of this production as a black woman. And she pulled out under the pressure of all these very wealthy black athletes, very wealthy black stars, who said to her, "You can in no way expose that to the country. We have to protect our race at all costs." So she dropped out. Now, fortunately, somebody else picked it up, and they did do the documentary. It's called On the Record. And what it shows you is all this black on the black domestic crime, black on black domestic crime is never talked about in this country, John. So they do everything to protect their race, while they completely shred us apart and do what they do about the white people in a country founded by our ancestors, where we no longer matter, John. We no longer count. We no longer have rights. We can't stand up and speak up for our interests. We can't even defend ourselves, John.
Oh, I know it. Well, and so, you know, that's the main thing is blacks are just given every single excuse in the world. There's no accountability at all. Not in the few out there, like a guy like Jesse Lee Peterson, for example, or Thomas Sowell, Larry Elder. I mean, these guys are hitting the nail right on the head. Look, black people are suffering in America because of their own dysfunctional criminal behavior. Frankly, that's it. That's it right there.
Exactly. And what do we do? Throw more money at this? Didn't we, with Lyndon Johnson and his great society plan? Haven't we spent trillions and trillions of dollars to improve the lot of these people? And where are we today, John? Let me tell you, I was raised in the South. I never saw things like this. And I've been around more black people than all of you and your audience put together. We never had this kind of stuff. This is a new phenomenon, and I think it has to do partly with what the kids are being taught in school. This anti-whiteism that is growing every day in this country by what is being taught is partly why we're seeing in our streets what's happening. They are all products of these indoctrination camps, which we used to call public schools, but really they're turning out Bolsheviks. And these teachers are nothing but indoctrinators. I don't know if you heard, but in Tennessee, in the Rutherford County, parents were told this week not to monitor their children's virtual classrooms. Now, I ask you, why not? Because parents used to be encouraged to get active in their kids' schoolings, and I mean, I was part of PTA. I don't even know if PTA exists anymore. But what is it they're teaching that they don't want parents to know about? Is it more of this gender garbage, this pushing of homosexuality and transgenderism, this teaching kids to hate white people, that all white people are evil? Now, they talk about systematic racism, and yet they promote it by these teachings. And these parents have been told that a violation of this agreement, if they don't agree to this, could result in them removing the child from the virtual class.
Wow.
Now, that's pretty stunning, isn't it? What in God's name is it they don't want us to see or hear? I tell you, I used to encourage parents when I was on AM radio years ago, start forming co-ops and get to homeschooling, get your kids out of these indoctrination camps. I was saying that years ago, John. That's the only hope for our children. because these people are destroying our kids, and they've got our kids, John. And parents don't have a say in it anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
So,
well, and there's no consequences for their what we see with all this, you know, looting and criminality taking place across the country. There's no rule of law anymore. No one's getting punished. No one's being arrested. If you are arrested due to, you know, these criminal justice reforms that, again, the Trump administration was all about and promoting. And of course, all of these, you know, radical left-wing local prosecutors who are being funded and financed by, you know, groups tied to George Soros and other left-wing, you know, radical anti-American terrorists, essentially. They're just letting these people off the hook. Here's another good example. There was two young black kids, geez, like 14, 15, 16 years old. I'm not sure. They were young. They were like teenagers. They beat up this white man at a it was at a Maryland fair, I think it was. And they punched this guy in the head. He ended up dying. And one of the kids who did it, the main kid that did it, is not even going to jail. He's giving like an anger management class. Are just no consequences for criminal behavior, including murder. I mean, it's just so out of control. Meanwhile, the whole force of the justice system is brought down upon people protesting wearing a face mask or defending their home in the case of the couple in St. Louis.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I say our rights, our justice system is as shot as all of the other systems in this country. What's really happened here, John, through Donald Trump being elected, and really whether you love or hate the man, and I know I was a very big Trump supporter, and I still am. I think he's better than the alternative, but he hasn't lived up to things that we had hoped, but look at what has been exposed as a result of Donald Trump getting elected. We would not be seeing and understanding all of this had Trump not been elected. So that to me has been very positive. The fake media, the deep state, all of this stuff that we now see, this racism that's being supported by the Democrat Party, supported, as we know, by you-know-who, because they are the people that run the Democrat Party. And we wouldn't have known that to the degree that we now know it. So to me, as tough as this is, at least I think people are starting to wake up. Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the main point that I've always tried to make about President Trump is, you know, like you, I supported him. I voted for him. I attended a couple rallies and was really inspired, you know, during that last election. And, you know, I've tried to be objective about it. He has been largely a total failure. I mean, he hasn't really done anything that he ran on. He's walked back, you know, a lot of things that he said he was going to do. And he's done a lot of very counterproductive things. I mean, I mentioned the whole criminal justice reform situation that he pushed, which, again, this guy, Jared Kushner, who appears to be running the entire administration, was all about promoting. So, I mean, this is like his policy. So, yeah, needless to say, Trump has been a huge disappointment. He's basically just another actor in this fake political theater. But that being said, I think that he has certainly allowed for some of like our ideas to flourish, to gain traction. People are waking up. People are seeing through a lot of this. You know, he has opened up the political discourse, and that is a very important thing, and it's worth noting. And just for that alone, I think it's important that he stays, you know, in office.
Well, absolutely. Let's talk about, God forbid, if Joe Biden wins, what we will see is our First Amendment rights gone. They will use hate speech laws. It will shut down any opposition. There will be tens of millions of immigrants brought in, and they will legalize those already here because it is a color revolution. We're going to be fighting a war against Russia. They'll build up further hostilities against China and other countries, even in the Middle East. And I tell you, you white males, forget about it. You're going to be deemed guilty rapists, guilty whatever, until proven otherwise. Our children will continue to be forced into being transsexuals, which I think is a mental disorder. There'll be no police in white neighborhoods, John. They'll let all blacks out of prison. They're going to take our guns. They'll legalize all drugs. So freedom for white people and civil rights will be gone. We will be enslaved. So that's the alternative. I mean, what can Trump do? Can he save us? No, but he can stop the bleeding. He can prolong the destruction that is in place in this country. And perhaps, John, if we get four more years with Trump, somebody will appear. Some new person will appear that understands and will go after and try to make this country what it was founded to be again. Could that be Tucker Carlson, 2024? I don't know. What do you think about Tucker?
I like Tucker. I don't watch his show like every night or anything, but I do catch clips of it. And he's clearly like the only person on TV that's saying anything important.
Right.
I have heard a lot of talk about him potentially getting involved in politics at some point. I think it'd be great. I just, watched a video of Mike Enoch, who
I saw
is
that.
One of the, oh, did you see it? Yeah, the National Justice Party. Yeah. See, I mean, stuff like that. I mean, this is what it's going to take at the end of the day. There's never going to be any sort of real political solution until we are just totally honest about what is really going on and honest about who's in charge and what their agenda is, honest about race, honest about the fact that white people need to organize politically, explicitly as white people, to fight for our own political interests. Mm-hmm. We have to understand these things and confront them publicly. And, you know, again, President Trump isn't going to do that. I doubt Tucker Carlson would do that. But it's going to take, you know, maybe a group like the National Justice Party, maybe guys willing to stick their neck out there like Mike Enoch. You know, mm-hmm. God bless him. You know, I know there's a lot of controversy with it. But, I mean, come on. What are we just going to sit around and watch this happen and not even say anything about it? I mean, give me a break.
Well, I also think we have to get honest, John, about who really runs our government.
We've got a foreign-occupied country
running our government, and that is what is the underlying fight we have. I don't know how we deal with that, to be quite frank. We've got these people in all the important gatekeeper posts of power. How do you get rid of a group of people that are dedicated to destroying this country? Within our own country, they are running it. It's this Zog group that really runs the government. So when you talk about Trump, I think they've got him. And why in God's name he's got Kushner in there? That kid should have been sent back to New York day one. But he is an Israeli agent, and I believe that's why we are having such a hard time, John. And I don't have the answer. Honest to God, I don't. A new party, like Mike talked about, getting the awareness out there of what needs to be done. But are we a little too late for that? You know, we are, 60% majority in our own country? You know,
maybe not even that. I'm not even sure about that.
I mean, we're like nomads looking for our homeland. People are running around trying to figure out where's a safe place to move, me being one of them. There's no safe place for white people anymore. So I don't think until we can get honest about our government and who's running it and who has the power, are we going to make any progress.
Yeah, I agree. Right. I mean, I think the only way forward politically is, you know, just to be explicitly pro-white, without any reservations or excuses or cucking in any way. And that includes, you know, being open and honest about the reality of Jewish power in America, about confronting, you know, controversial topics like the alleged Holocaust, 9/11 truth. I mean, I could go on, you know, any number of other, you know, controversial topics. And just being straight up honest about it. I mean, I think that is ultimately what is going to have to happen if we're going to make any sort of progress politically. And it's going to be a long struggle, obviously, a very difficult struggle, but one that I think is worth pursuing. I mean,
yeah. You know, John, I'm curious why Jews use charges of anti-Semitism to silence anyone who questions their behavior. And why is it possible that no one puts links the anti-Semitism and their Jewish behavior? You see, we can't eat. That is a no-no in this country. You cannot say a word about the Jewish people in this country without either being deplatformed, destroyed financially. Far worse things have happened to people. But that kind of power tells us all we need to know about who's calling the shots and who's running the show here. And that's what the fight is about. We both know that. I was thrown off a Jew-owned radio station just mainly for sticking up for white Americans, white Europeans. The problem was I was getting too close to dog whistling the truth about the power and who has it, and they cannot have that. The minute you get too close to the truth, you're gone. So I don't know how we fix this, John, unless we take back our power. But how do we do that? How do we do that? Look who has the money. Look who has the money.
Well, and see, this is a big problem, is really the weaponization of our language and our political discourse. You know, you mentioned a word like anti-Semitism. I mean, really, and this is something I've written about over the years. But, you know, I've talked about it on different podcasts and stuff. I mean, if you look at the way that Jews use anti-Semitism, I mean, it literally is anybody that's criticizing Jewish behavior or pointing out basic facts that are easily observable. I mean, clearly, I mean, you know, there's examples of Jews being honest about their power and influence. There's that famous Joel Stein article that was published in the LA Times, I think in 2008 or maybe 2007. I can't remember off the top of my head, where, you know, he's like bragging about the fact that Jews run the media in Hollywood. And I mean, you can just see, like, turn on your TV and you can see like Jews on the screen telling you what to think, telling you, you know, white people are evil and white people need to be erased. You know, you see it in the government. Look at all the major senators and players in the federal government, even at the state and local level. I mean, Jews are clearly playing a key role in all of this. And again, pointing out that fact, that easily provable, easily demonstrable fact, is itself anti-Semitism, according to these people. So it's a weaponized term, just like racism or racist. Mm-hmm. White supremacy, white supremacist, bigot. I mean, literally anybody with a positive pro-white perspective, or anybody that, you know, criticizes or points out obvious, undeniable facts about non-whites and their anti-white hatred, criminality, violence, etc. I mean, you're a racist if you say these things, despite it being true. You know, it's, so it's just, I mean, that's one thing that is really difficult to maneuver around, is like, how do you even explain this to people with these weaponized terms, right? I mean,
Well, let's look at it this way. And we keep hearing anti-Semitism is on the rise. Well, I don't see any examples or cases of Jews being beat up and killed on the streets by anybody. All I see is black on white crime, where whites are getting either beat almost to death or to death in many cases. So if anti-Semitism is on the rise, where is it, John? Are they being killed like we white people are? It's a ridiculous argument, but they have used this to silence us from the beginning. It is a weaponized word. And sadly for me, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of evangelical Christians, and I think they're part of our problem, John. They simply refuse to get it about the Jews and their power. And their
a lot of people, not just evangelicals, but
A lot of people. But they really support the Jewish people. They believe the Jewish people have a right to that Jewish state, which was stolen from the Palestinians, and the god-awful things that go on over there daily, John, that never again get reported. They turn a blind eye because of this chosen people idea that, of course, we know is a farce by Mr. Schofield, who changed the literal translation of the Bible. It's a hard battle with these Christians. And I'm a Christian, so I'm not anti-Christian. I'm talking about brainwashed Christians who simply refuse to get it. I'm talking about them.
Yeah. No, I totally understand and hear you. It is very, very frustrating. I mean, anybody that's being objective, I mean, you just look at, like, what these major political leaders say and do and the policies they pursue. I mean, it's as if our entire country is run to advance Jewish interests. I mean, that's basically what's going on.
Well, let me ask you a question. What other country allows for a government to be filled with a huge percentage of people that have dual citizenships?
Yeah.
I don't know of any country.
Exactly.
Do you?
Well, right. And I mean, think about just the fact that, you know, again, going back to this idea that, you know, these Black Lives Matter activists and Antifa activists are out there saying that this is a white supremacist country. If that were the case, why are we opening our borders and systematically displacing the very people that found and built this country? You know, just last night, I was watching a video on YouTube, and it's so sad. I mean, this is the one that I was watching. I actually posted it on Twitter. It's video footage from the 1890s. Of footage of cities all around the world. You know, it's mostly like European and American cities. And it's just amazing. I mean, these are the sorts of images that you could see when whites still ruled. There was order. There was beauty. Uh-huh. There was harmony.
Yeah.
There was civilization.
Yeah.
And we have let our countries be destroyed by these people. And no one is saying anything about it. Everyone's too afraid, at least mostly anybody with any position of influence, and that is because you are not allowed to even get in a position of influence in this country unless you are on board with this Jewish anti-white genocide, frankly. Let's call it what it is, this white genocide agenda. That's exactly what is going on.
And the reason people are afraid to speak up in many cases, John, people who still have jobs, who still have families they're trying to feed, they know that they can be destroyed financially. I mean, these people are vicious. They are vicious people, John. They will stop at nothing. They will stop at nothing to get their end game, which is what? To depopulate the planet and have it be run by these oligarchs, these wealthy oligarchs, to the tune of 500 million people. Now, they say that clearly on the Georgia Guidestones. That's what the end game is. So I'm not excusing why some white people don't stand up. They're kind of caught in a terrible place because they know if they do, they can be destroyed. They can lose all of their money and all of their ability to earn money. So I don't know how we fix this. I, honest to God, don't. I know throughout history the Jews have always overplayed their hand and have eventually been thrown out of every country they've ever occupied. But how are we going to do it here when, as I said, they are the gatekeepers of all the power? The banks.
Well, it's going to be tough. Yeah, it's going to take a lot of hard work. I mean, yeah. Whites just have no sense of collective racial or, you know, ethnic identity. Most actually, this is the sad thing, most actually have a negative view or understanding of their racial identity. They've been, you know, made to be ashamed and embarrassed or regretful that they were born white or whatever, you know. Or even worse, I mean, I don't know about even worse, but or on the other hand, some of them are just totally unconcerned with it. Like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. We're above being racist and thinking and you know, those sorts of identity politics. And this is like most conservatives and Trump supporters. That's how they view it. You know what I mean? Like they're unconcerned with it. So it's a huge mess. And
well, there's a lot of virtue signaling. That's a disease that people have caught too. They have to show they have compassion, that they are inclusive, that they don't see color, they don't see difference. Well, let me tell you something. If that's true, then God was the biggest racist on the earth in history, because God created different peoples, different colors, different countries, different cultures. And if we were all supposed to be the same, why didn't he just do it all the same, John?
Yeah, exactly. It's a good point. I mean, it's clear. I mean, you just it's clearly visible. I mean, you look at different people, and people are different. They build different civilizations, or lack thereof, I guess, in some cases. But yeah, it's.
I'm not against people having the right to exist and to live their lives through their own culture. I am absolutely for that. What I resent is when they come here with those cultures, particularly these third world cultures, and expect us to adapt that to our way of life. That's not what this country was founded on, John. This is our country. It was founded by our people. I'm not going to adapt to their ways. If you don't like white people and you think white people are evil and whiteness as a country is, you know, such a terrible thing, well, then go make your countries great. Go make your countries run the way you want. Why would you even want to be in a country with white people if you feel that way about them?
Yep.
I mean, why
well
would
said.
You want it? So I'm tired of it. I think what's going to happen, John, is we're going to become more balkanized because I think people are going to start looking for safe places to move, where you don't have to fear for your life on a daily basis. I mean, that's truly, I think, what we're going to come to. You know, Kamala Harris, in her acceptance speech at the DNC, said there's no vaccine for racism. Now, can you imagine a vice president candidate saying such a thing?
Yeah,
there's no vaccine for racism? Give me a break, Kamala Harris. Maybe they should be working on that vaccine.
I know. Yeah, that'll be the next one that Bill Gates comes up with. Yeah. Well, we've only – gosh, this hour has really kind of flown by. We've got about maybe 10 more minutes or so. Okay, you know, one thing – there was a couple things I wanted to get to. One was the George Floyd situation. I'm sure you saw it. Have you seen some of the body cam footage?
Oh,
that's – yeah.
Oh, yeah. Saw it all. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean –
It's a whole story, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's clear. Even the autopsy itself that was conducted by the – I think it's the county medical examiner there. There was multiple autopsies done, two of which I believe were commissioned by the defense of George Floyd's family, the people represent – who I think actually is Benjamin Crump, if I'm not mistaken, who is the same black lawyer involved in the Trayvon Martin hoax.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these people, it's always the same characters, same actors involved in these sorts of scams. But anyways, that autopsy, I mean, it clearly showed that he did not die of, asphyxiation or anything like that. He died of a drug overdose, basically.
Yeah.
It clearly, if you watch the body cam footage, he's clearly high on drugs. I mean, there's just no other way around it. It's very obvious. And not only that, he had
his feet when they were trying to get him in the car. He kept talking about he couldn't breathe. That didn't start with this supposed boot on his neck. He was talking about I can't breathe when they first encountered him. Remember?
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, he's specifically demanding that he be put on the ground, right? I mean, in the video itself. So the whole thing is just ridiculous. And you know, again, the country is burned down and looted over this drug addict, total criminal. I mean, he's the same guy that him and a couple of his buddies, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you know, burglarized, entered into a woman's house and held a gun to her to try to rob her. I mean, he's just a career criminal like all these people are.
And
meanwhile, the country
pregnant.
Yeah, and she's
pregnant.
Yeah.
And he said, "Do you want me to kill your baby?"
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. This is the guy that these people are defending and rioting over and looting over. It's absurd. But anyways, I read an interesting piece in the LA Times where they were interviewing the lawyer, I believe it was, for Derek Chauvin, who's like the main officer that was seen in the video kneeling on him. Let me read this brief little summary of it. A defense argument in the Floyd case. It starts here. The public quickly reached its verdict. Minneapolis police killed George Floyd. Video seen around the world shows him on the pavement, his neck pinned beneath the knee of Officer Derek Chauvin, pleading for his life. I can't breathe until his body goes limp. Two autopsies concluded the death was a homicide. And again, I should point out, those autopsies that said it was a homicide were private ones done by the Floyd family. Chauvin was charged with murder, and three other officers, Thomas Lane and Alexander Kuhn, I believe is how you pronounce it, who both helped hold down Floyd, and Tao? I don't even know how to pronounce some of these guys' names. Mm-hmm. The three other officers, basically, they were charged as accomplices. In an interview with the Times, a lawyer for Lane said he plans to argue that Floyd died from a drug overdose of the powerful drugs of opioid and fentanyl and an underlying heart condition, which is exactly what the medical examiner said in the autopsy report. None of these guys, even Chauvin, actually killed him, said the attorney. He killed himself. And they're going to have a hell of a case. I mean, they're going to...
Yes, they are.
If there's any, like, objective, rule of law in America, which is obviously not the case anymore, but I just don't understand how these guys could be charged with murder. You know,
well,
I mean,
don't either,
and
John,
they're going to get let off. Watch,
who,
they're going to get
court,
let off.
Who's running that court?
Yeah, exactly.
You
well,
see?
Watch. If there really is any sort of justice in this country, these guys are going to get let off because they acted professionally. That was my big takeaway watching some of the body cam footage. Is like, wow, these officers actually like were trying their best to like deal with this totally drugged out thug. Yeah.
Yeah. But do you think most Americans have seen that body cam, the full body cam? Because they didn't expose that till quite recently. The full body cam recordings. That wasn't what was shown. All we saw was George Floyd on the ground with, you know, his foot on his neck. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't
yeah, exactly.
show any of the precursor getting him to the car or trying to get him in the car. This has all come out. I wish them well because I think this will be a true lynching of officers just trying to do their job with this drugged up thug with a record that should speak for itself. And yet we have lionized this man. We have made a king out of this guy. He got more funerals than most presidents get. And, you know, little Cannon Hennant again got 2 minutes of national coverage. It just shows you, John, how bad this division and this anti-whiteism is in our country today.
Yes, well said. It is a total disgrace. I mean, I am just disgusted with this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they, again, we'll go out and literally, like, burn down the entire country over this drug addict that killed himself. His own actions led to his death.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, is like, gosh, there's just no sanity, no truth, no integrity anymore, certainly by the media. And the media can whip these people up into these, you know, lawless actions, basically. It's incredible.
It is. Well, John, I just want to thank you for having me here with you today. I appreciate you sharing your mic with me. But can I leave your audience with just a few thoughts?
Yes, please do. Yeah.
Okay. Folks, this is a war, and it's a war on white people. It's also a war between good and evil. You know, if it's hateful for a Christian to speak out against homosexuality, why is it not hateful for a homosexual to speak out against Christianity? Why is it not hateful for that? We have to stand up for our country, our freedom, our people, for Western civilization, because these are very serious times in which we're living. History is being made here, people, and we're never going to go back to the old normal, so we have to start thinking about how to plan our futures. Socrates said to find yourself, think for yourself. So get involved, everybody, because your very life depends on it. So you can email me, by the way, at peachescapitola@gmail.com and follow me on Twitter. I've gotten involved on Twitter, John, @peachescapitola. So I just want to tell everybody to stay safe out there. And again, thank you, John, for having me. I've really enjoyed our chat today.
Yes, thank you so much. It was great to catch up and touch base with all this madness unfolding across the country. I will link over to your Twitter feed when I post the program. And also I will put a link to our previous podcast and also the article that I wrote for American Free Press kind of highlighting your situation with the radio station up there in Santa Cruz. So
people
are not familiar with your background. Yeah, they can get a a good little overview there. So yeah, it's been great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's you know, really crazy times we're living in, and it's good to touch base and chat with sane people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And let's not lose our spirit, our American fighting spirit. Hopefully, there's still enough of us out there, John, to make the difference. Hopefully.
Yes, well said. Well, thank you, Georgia. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
And yeah, we'll be talking again real soon. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.